It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Everybody, you are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better, that is worse than the acting in Mama's Family. No, the show that's better than the acting in, why did I write worse? The show that's better than the acting in Mama's. What an inauspicious beginning. Anyway, that was terrible. You can join the chat room, Denpin. Go to davincomedy.com, click live broadcast. You can also watch us on the Davin's Den Facebook page. Hopefully that is working properly tonight. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt. I am joined by Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody. I put the broad in broadcast.
Wow. Like 11 years in and... Okay, good. And and Joe will be here soon. And, you know, I'll let Joe deal with that if he wants. Now why is this playing? I don't need you playing now. Jesus Christ. It's all going
that's
to hell.
It's been happening a lot. Music yeah. Creeping up when you least expect it.
Yeah, I must have hit a setting or something. I don't know, and I'm not versed enough in this to fix it, so we'll deal with it. Anyway, Worst Moms Countdown 2023. That's what we're going to do tonight.
We are.
I got to tell you, my moms... I wish they were funnier. They're this year, I would say my moms are more on the evil side. Like the one that was kind of, you know, I couldn't really narrow down the date for it, and I didn't want to get called on a technicality because it's all about winning. So my moms are dark, and I'm not talking about skin or anything like that. I'm just talking about these are not good moms. These are terrible, despicable mothers.
Mine are stupid, pretty much. I have not had a lot of luck finding the despicable this year, so I'm not feeling very good.
Yeah, you don't really do well in these.
No, I don't tend to do well in them. I don't know if it's my search terms or I don't know, but I find things, like I just found something today and I was like, yes, and I knew that I would be called out on a technicality and I'm like, damn it, no.
Well, you know what they say, rules are rules, men have died.
Men have died. I thought I had something really good and it's like, yeah, no.
So we got that, and then we'll do some scamming scammers with Mary, who continues to jump around the calendar with me, much to your and Joe's dismay.
I don't understand what's happening.
So, I mean, I guess I'm not going to do a scam buster on this. Maybe my old neighbor, my friend, got scammed, and I was like, well, I'm going to talk about that tonight. But I don't have it in there. Yeah. And it actually ties in to somebody who I'm scamming right now. Well, I'm not scamming. I'm scamming the scammer right now. But it was somebody famous that, you know, was allegedly talking to. So, yeah. He got bamboozled. But I guess we'll save that for another time. We're off next week. So I guess on the 23rd, we will do that. It's been a long day, man. I was at a funeral today.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. But
passed.
I mean, listen, whenever anybody dies, it sucks. But this man just had his 100th birthday. So
oh my God.
So it's not like you could go, he was so young.
What a shame he didn't have enough life. Yeah, well, nobody feels like they want to give it up, you know, but, you know, I'm ready, take me. But that's really sad, though, because I don't know. There's not like a silver lining when somebody dies.
No. Well, so this was my uncle's father, and so he had been living with them because he was suffering from dementia. Dementia and Lou Gehrig's disease, like, just terrify me. But I guess he got COVID a few weeks ago. People came over. He got COVID, went to the hospital, and that was it. Never came out of the hospital.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, elderly people, that elderly, it's COVID, even the milder forms, are really terrifying because they just can't push it off.
Yeah, I mean, like, I guess that would be called a COVID death. But when you're a 100, is it? I mean, you know, I don't know. But I mean, because I guess theoretically he would probably still be here if it wasn't for COVID. So
yeah,
but it was nice.
I mean, my aunt died in the beginning of COVID, and she was 94. But it was still, she died because of COVID.
Right.
So, I mean, she was doing okay until then.
It was nice. Everybody was, like, saying, you know, what it was always like a people person. Always, you know, happy to talk to people. Love talking to people. Nice guy. And, you know, we need more people like that. But whatever. So my day was spent like that, which is not exactly.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. So, yeah, it's been a funky day, that, other things going on. But, you know, we are here. So Pip wanted me to talk about this, and I actually had it written down as well. Earlier today, it came out that Donald Trump, now this is a civil suit, was found liable, not guilty, liable, for sexual assault and defaming E. Jean Carroll. But I don't think they found him liable for rape. Is that what it was? But I don't know necessarily the difference between sexual assault and rape. I mean, is it penetration? Is that what it is?
I just for some reason I think they use that lesser charge when they're not completely 100% sure that they want to call it rape. I don't always understand the distinction because it seems to me that this happens all too frequently when, you know, the allegation was, oh, yeah, it was rape, and they'll call it sexual assault. And I'm like, is that any better? I really would have to look that up.
So they Donald Trump was deposed. He wouldn't testify on stand in defense of himself. And if I was Trump's lawyers, I wouldn't let him near that either. But this goes back to an argument that this show had and many other places did in 2015, where you and I were squarely on one side, and Mr. Curry was on the other, as far as the pussy grabbing incident, and Joe was firmly in the corner of this is locker room talk, and you and I were not having that at all. So it came up. It came up again. So this is from the deposition. Well, how will Donald Trump handle the redo? How will he? Now he gets a second crack at it, a mulligan. How will DJT handle it? So this is what happened. Carroll's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, who, by the way, like Trump was like talking, he was like, "You're not my type either." What is that? I see a lot of people think that was sexual. I think that meant you're a competent attorney, which is not my type.
No, I don't think he meant that at all.
No, I think that's what it was. He's like, you're not like melting in front of me, in front of the dildo store, you know, like with shoe polish on your head. You're not my type. You are asking questions that are giving answers that seem pertinent. This is not what we were looking for. You seem competent. You are not my type. See, everybody thought it was like sexual, but I think no. Trump was acknowledging he could never hire an attorney like this.
You're not my high caliber is what we were really searching for.
Yeah, so now before I go, they showed Donald Trump a picture, and they asked Donald Trump, who's this? That's my wife, Marla Maples. Which one? This one. That's your wife, Marla Maples? Yeah. No, that's E. Jean Carroll, the one who you keep on saying isn't your type. You dumb motherfucker, you. What Donald Trump should have said is, listen, I need her to bend over and hike up her skirt, and then I will tell you who this is, because I never looked at their face. That would have been a better answer. That would have been the better answer than what he gave.
I couldn't believe, I watched that exact moment of the deposition on YouTube, and I think that what she was saying to him at that exact moment, they were talking about what does she look like, and you know, she was the one. I mean, it was all about E. Jean Carroll, and then she just kind of hands him the picture, and I don't think she even asked who it was.
No, I think she did ask who it is.
Okay, they had just been talking about E. Jean Carroll. She hands him the photo, and he goes, "That's Marla." What? you know who you were just talking about? And he goes, "Marla." She goes, "Who?" And he goes, "Marla, my wife, Marla."
He is as dumb as they can. No, like legitimately. Like, I know we had arguments on this show about whether he was smart. And I know at times I was the one going, no, he's as dumb as they come. He's a moron who got lucky. And God damn, he proves me more right than anything else that I'm right about. And I happen to be right about a lot of things on this show. Once I walk out that door out of this office, not so much. But during this show, I happen to be right quite a bit. But nobody looks smarter, makes me look smarter than this dumb guy. He is
in your sanctuary. You're right a lot.
Yeah.
but I could not believe that he was saying that when he had just said she wasn't his type, and it's like, oh, but she looks exactly like your ex-wife.
Well, in his defense, Marla wasn't his type for all that long either.
Oh, yeah, she ceased being his type pretty quickly. I don't know what that was about, but really, really dumb decisions.
He is so stupid.
I mean, if we really were going to, like, you know, make a dumb decision quilt, it would cover a great part of New York State. It's like, there's so many quotes and so many things that I'm like, oh no, you didn't.
Well, I want to get to that quote. But as I recall, he was my biggest fool of the year back to back years, and I think I won on that at least.
Yeah.
And he was on the countdown for many years. But and now that he's running, it's like I almost don't want to do it anymore.
I it's just like, well, can we just like have this? We'll have to do a different show because this is a default position. You know, it's like, let's stack up the body of work.
So let's file this in under what I'm about to read is, how dumb are you?
I really just can't believe it anymore. But
let me read it.
Really, what really disturbs me is,
well, let me read the quote.
Please. I'm sorry.
So Roberta Kaplan, that was E. Jean Carroll's attorney, asked the former president about the Access Hollywood tape, which he told Billy Bush in 2005, "When you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything." Adding, "Grab him by the pussy, you can do anything." And that's the thing where you and I were like, oh, no, no, no. And Joe's like, no, that's locker room talk. And I'm like, I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I've never heard anybody do that, let alone with a microphone and a guy from the media there. But whatever. And Trump's defense, the thing was, a lot of the Republicans were like, oh, my stars, heavens to Murgatroyd, we're not going to vote for him. And then when he won the primary, what grabbing? What pussy? Locker room talk. And they all voted for him, which they're going to do again. Anyway, so he's like, you could do anything, add and grab him by the pussy. After watching the clip, Trump told Kaplan, well, historically, that's true with stars. Is it? When pressed on whether he stood by those statements, which he chalked up to locker room banter in 2016, later suggesting the tape wasn't real, Trump responded, "Well, I guess if you look over the last million years, by the way, we have not been walking the earth for a million years, but okay."
No.
I don't even know if amoeba were grabbing other amoeba by amoeba pussy a million years ago. Perhaps.
I think that those little bear amoeba, the tardigrade,
yep,
they were grabbing each other's pussy. But I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with hominids.
Well, I guess if you look over the last million years, that's been largely true. Not always true, but largely true. Unfortunately, and wait for it, or fortunately, dumbass, the period comes after unfortunately. That's where the period comes, and you go, okay, you know, he's backpedaling from that horrible thing, whatever. Nope, stupid doubles down. It doubles down. But you know what? It's not locker room talk. It's deposition talk.
Deposition.
I mean, this guy.
It is.
I know Billy Bush can outsmart anybody. I know what a genius Billy Bush is, right?
Oh, please.
And I know how shifty Billy Bush can be, and he tricked Donald Trump into saying those things. But right here, you have your attorney sitting right next to you. Right next to you. Yeah. You know, they can't get the tape over stupid's mouth quick enough. They should.
Oh my God.
They should have gone. He's suffering from dementia.
I can't believe that you said that, because I was thinking he should be sitting there with the duct tape ready to go at a moment's notice. Because if that was your job to make sure he doesn't say something stupid, wouldn't you be like poised and ready?
Well, hold on. When he was president, there it was a lot of people's jobs to make sure he didn't say something stupid. But he would do it routinely during press conferences. Even to Joe's chagrin, Joe's like, he needs to go to the back and have a burger. Joe had enough with his nonsense.
you know, because you see him open his mouth and it's like, oh no. If this was my preferred candidate, if this was the person I was hanging my hat on, I don't think that there's enough secondhand embarrassment in the world to cover that.
I couldn't vote for it. I mean, if I really didn't like the other candidate, I'd probably stay home, because but that's just the thing. I don't think everybody processes things. We're trying to be nice the way I do and thinks about things the way I do. But if this was Biden, for instance, and talking about grabbing pussy and then doubling down on it. Sorry, Joe. Can't vote for you. Not you, Joe Curry.
No.
Joe Biden. I can't vote. You're too far gone. You need to be in a home. It's just too much. Like, you have been prepped for this deposition. Your attorneys, if they're somewhat competent, and we'll give them the benefit of the doubt, have told you what you're going to be asked. You have gone over the answers. You are not going into a deposition cold. It is not an ambush. It is not a surprise. You know this is coming. You know this is coming at you. You've rehearsed it as an attorney, and you're just sitting there with your fingers crossed. Please, motherfucker. Please. Just please. Don't embarrass all of us. And he can't help himself. Now, to people like you and I, hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Joe?
I see you sneaking in.
Yeah. To people like you and I, it's completely abhorrent and disqualifying. But we didn't fall for it the first time. I still contend it has no effect on the Republican voter. None whatsoever. The fact that he doubled down on sexual assault of women, and the evangelicals, who are full of crap, let's be honest, they're still going to support it too. Stay home. If you can't support Joe Biden for whatever reason, don't support the guy who just doubled down on sexual assault of women. Don't support that. That should be your line in the sand. It wasn't the shiftiness of Billy Bush in 2005. He was deposed. He was prepared. What not to say? He's like, you know what? I think that grabbing the pussy is fine because I'm a star. Just say unfortunately. Period. Period. Not or fortunately. Hello, Joe.
Yeah.
Hey, that woman, though, is a bit of a nutcase. I mean, he had audio of her on a talk show saying that rape could be romantic. I saw the audio this afternoon. She's a little bit of a nut, this one.
Well, I didn't hear that, but that's neither here nor there to what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that he doubled down that stars can sexually harass or sexually assault women. All he had to do was say, unfortunately, Joe. But he said, or fortunately. He kept on going. Stop! You just know the attorney's going, son of a bitch. You just know pen up in
the
air.
Know the quote. But does Joe know the quote? Personally versus unfortunately doesn't make sense.
All right, all right. I don't know if Joe heard. Joe, did you hear the quote, or you want me to read it again?
Say the quote.
All right, so this is when he's being deposed by E. Jean Carroll's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, and they're talking about the Billy Bush tape, the grabbing of the pussy. So this is what he said under the deposition. Well, I guess if you look over the last million years, to which Pip and I enjoyed a million years in amoeba, apparently grabbing amoeba pussy, if you look over the last million years, that's been largely true. Not always true, but largely true. Unfortunately, or fortunately. Dude. What are you doing? yes, Pip, the little kitty cat.
Well, that's bad enough where, you know, like I said, it's Trump. I mean, his lawyer, Joe Pecatino, I think his name is, you know, he's trying to speak to the judge, see if they can get the venue changed out of New York. I mean, meanwhile, Trump's on YouTube bashing the judge. So, yeah.
No, but we were just saying that. His attorneys prepare Trump for these questions. You know, it's not an ambush at a deposition. All he had to do was say, unfortunately, go, okay, whatever. But he had to go, or fortunately, like, you know, maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing that stars can just grab women in this guy's head. I mean, and the guy's sick, man. I know you're still going to vote for him. I don't understand it. Like I was telling Pip, if it was Joe Biden and he was saying stuff like this, I don't know if I would vote for the other person, but I couldn't.
You know, like I said, it gets to the point it would be over policy because there's got to be a better alternative to Joe Biden. But still, it's starting to come to roost that maybe Trump's not the candidate. Now, I know you have the pro-MAGNA people, but it's like I started saying that months ago.
You did.
And my whole thing is, have you not seen the midterm elections? And it seems to be coming up for discussion even more. I mean, both parties have a dilemma here. I mean, you've got on the Democratic side, you have Joe Biden, who has a 35% popularity rating. And I'm not just saying this as a conservative Republican. I'm saying this is something as a Democrat. So they have him that has a 35% rating. He's 80 years old. He's starting to lose his faculties. Who knows if he will be able to debate? Who knows if he'll be able to?
It's funny you bring up the debates because they're saying Trump isn't going to do the Republican debates. Which, by the way, if I'm Donald Trump, that's a smart move. If I'm Donald,
I'm talking about on the Democrat. No, but
I'm saying we might have two candidates. Neither one can debate. That's what I'm saying.
So, but speaking as somebody that's a Democrat, it's like, well, you know, I mean, this is a problem.
But he doesn't say. I've said, first of all, Joe Biden has always been a gaffe machine, which is why if he wasn't running against Donald Trump, he never would have won this time. So even when he was young, he said stupid things. I'll just say stupid things. But I mean, he's not malignant. He says stupid stuff, but to double down on this sexual harassment thing just tells you all you need to know about this guy's soul. I mean, that's why, listen, I'm a registered Democrat. As a Democrat, I'm torn. Do I want Trump to win? I think that's the easier to run. I think that's the easier win for Biden. But if Biden loses by some chance, I don't want him to be president.
Well,
I
got to tell you something. As you as a registered Democrat and me as a registered Republican, we both have to look on our sides of the aisle and go, what the
Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's what I like a lot of the things that were passed bipartisan with Republicans. I like a lot of that stuff. And like I've said to a lot of people, if you take away the D and the R and you look at what was passed, a lot of people go, yeah, we kind of need that. You know, listen, everybody's on Biden's dick because he's old. I wish we had somebody younger, too. But who are they going to run that's younger or any better? I mean, nobody wants Kamala Harris. I mean...
No. She's awful.
I don't know if she's awful, but nobody wants her.
She's awful. She's an asshole.
All right. Well, there's lots of assholes in politics.
That was a hire that they did to get her in here. She's not qualified for the job.
I don't know if she's qualified or not qualified. Whatever it is, she's not popular. I will give you that. She's not popular. And listen, Biden's going to run unopposed. It'd be nice. It'd be nice if we had some type of age restriction, I guess, because neither one is young. I mean, Trump is only a few years younger, and Trump has his issues, too. He had the same issues of misspeaking that Biden does. I mean, you know, we used to pick up on it. I didn't do it on every show or nearly every show, but there was always something stupid that Trump was saying, and Biden has the same thing. So you go, well, are they always like this, or is it because they're losing off their fastball? I don't know, but either way, it's not good.
Also, Biden used to be very center, you know, and now he's being manipulated so far left that, you know, it's a problem.
I think that
that's how people see that he's being manipulated. I don't think that he's a doddering old fool and doesn't know what he's doing.
No, I don't think so either.
You know what I heard? He didn't realize he was in Ireland 2 weeks ago.
Well, where'd you hear that?
I heard it on the radio.
Yeah, but I know what station you listen to.
I listened to Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, okay.
He didn't even realize that. Oh. He was in Ireland 2 weeks ago.
All right, well.
And if you saw him being led around there, he didn't know where. He was trying to find out where his Lucky Charms were. That's what the only reason he went. He heard it was magically delicious.
Joe, you're listening to Bill O'Reilly. Wow. Oh, please. I would like to see the tape.
I mean, I listen. If they're going to run DeSantis or Trump against Biden, here's the problem. It doesn't even, the Republicans could run somebody who I thought is very qualified and good for the job at this point. Their party is so batshit crazy with guns and abortion and other shit. I still couldn't vote for the presidential candidate. And there are some Republican presidential potential candidates that I do have respect for. But that party with guns and abortion is so, I mean, you got this Republican congressman in Texas after the latest massacre. Oh, we can't do anything. It's God's will. Then why do you have a job? Why are you writing laws? We don't need you. We just need the New and the Old Testament. It's God's will. What are you doing? I mean,
throw on a cassock and start spreading the incense then, because you are not a legislator.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. And so it's God's will for like a 9-year-old to be gunned down at the mall by an AR-15. I mean, so really, when the party is offering that, I can't vote for it. And I'm more right.
You know, it's actually a society thing. And I was thinking about this today. We are moving so far away from religion, and people don't have any basis in, well, these people that do a basis in reality, they don't have any respect, because I don't think they have any base to religion. A lot of people are atheists and agnostic. And
wait, hold on. Let me stop you there. I mean, Pip and I are atheist or agnostic-ish. Do you consider us disrespectful and lacking of morals?
No, I don't know, because you were raised, Pip, I'm not going to speak out of time. I'm not sure you're, but we were raised with kind of a religion as kids in the background.
You know, right, but that's not. But that,
like I said, I don't want to put words in your mind. Obviously, Davin, I know you were. I was, and there was just a sense of morality, a sense to other people.
Well, I was listening to this on Morning Joe, and it seems like what's happened is that the church has now gotten into politics, which is why less people are going to church. Like, people used to go to church for the gospel, to hear the word of Jesus Christ, which is fine. If you're a believer in that, that's absolutely fine. But now it seems like so many of these religious leaders are getting into politics that people, especially younger people, are turned off. So then look at the religious leaders.
I would agree that would be a symptom. That would be a symptom of that. But it's also, you know, it's also a cause and effect, which I, you know, just how, because, you know, it's not only what happened at that mall in Texas. It's the videos that you see on YouTube, people fighting a wrestler. It's the videos that we did, I believe it was on last week's show, of people getting shot in their driveway, getting shot, you know. I think people are losing their morality.
Yeah, but I don't think that's a religion thing. I think that's more of
I think it's
a political thing. I think it's a media thing, and I think it's a parent thing.
All right, agreed. That's right.
I mean, you know, listen, it's hard. There's
one
a lot
of things. It's one of the things. The whole part of, you know, the gun laws that you have to look at. You know, I mean,
listen, I mean,
I did a fundraiser last week, and it was a gun club. It's actually the gun club Mike the Marine, my buddy Mike the Marine gives to. And we, you know, we raffled off a Mossberg shotgun, and we raffled off a Glock, you know, which is kind of cool, you know, but still, you know, but these are people that are registered gun owners, that are responsible gun owners. That, you know, everything is.
Well, but that's that's the thing, Joe. Most responsible gun owners want some controls. And the NRA and the Republic, if actually the gun manufacturers won't have it. But people want gun control. And we've talked about it. We're not going to do a whole gun thing again. But I'm just saying that's another reason why, even if there was a Republican who I thought was like John Kasich, who ran a couple years ago. I mean, I don't agree with him on everything, but I thought, all right, here's a guy who works across aisles, seems common sense. If he was president, I could survive with something like that. But the problem is he would have been in charge of a batshit crazy party, and, you know, that is just pushing extreme things.
Right. And what the problem is that on the Democratic side, they want guns. They want guns. No guns. Gun. And then on the Republican side, they're like, well, we have a Second Amendment right, blah, blah, blah. But they both have to get together and understand that society has changed. We don't want to infringe on Second Amendment rights, but we do have to take steps to understand where society is, to take steps where people shouldn't be allowed to have guns if they're a certain mental capacity.
Well, this guy in Texas, he was dishonorably discharged from the military because he wasn't mentally stable, but he has all these guns. I mean, what are we doing?
Well, it'd be interesting to look into that and see why he was able to obtain guns, why he weren't be able to do a background check to find out if that was a problem. Maybe it's a lack of law. I mean, New York is totally different. New York, I mean, you go through every day. It's incredibly difficult to get a gun in New York. So they might have to go, you know, you might have to make more stringent changes. But they have to understand that society has changed, and they have to look at society, and they're going to have to figure out what to do. And also what to, you know, how to, you know, make amends towards that. You know, the whole thing with, you know, where we're getting to the point with mental health. I mean, the guy, the Marine, that ex-Marine that took down that guy on the subway train, the guy was a problem. This guy was a menace. He already was charged with battery. He was a problem. He was a problem on the train, and he got neutralized. And it's just a sign that we need, you know, enough is enough with where, you know, the menace of mentally ill people. Now, with that being said, they have to figure out some way to get these people back off, you know, off the streets, or we'll work around. We also do know that Reagan was, you know, a lot of that. It was, you know, a several fold thing. It was the whole thing when Geraldo Rivera did the whole expose back in the late 70s on Willowbrook. Where they started to close all these places down, it was Reagan sending them out. So it's kind of a mess that we created. But we have to sit here and go, look, we need to reevaluate this and rehouse these people in a place where they're taken care of and they're not a menace to society.
But here's the problem, Joe. I agree with you. But here's the problem. We have so many people now that have survived these mass shootings or are afraid to go out because of all these mass shootings. We're creating more mental illness. By letting these gun owners do whatever the hell they want, we're creating more mental illness, which is going to create bigger problems. Everybody has, I don't want to do the whole thing. We've been through the mental illness before. There's no reason why an average citizen needs an AR-15 whose bullets are designed.
Here's the deal, and this is the mistake you make. You say it's an AR-15. It's an AR style.
Right, but the ammunition it's using.
It's a single shot.
But here's the difference, Joe. But the ammunition that it is using is different. So your Glock, a bullet, you get shot in the bullet, it goes right through you. It's a straight shot. This ammunition is meant to go in you, explode, and do mass damage inside you and stay in you. That's the problem. The police don't want to deal with this shit. And now the gun manufacturers are putting stuff on the street that can supposedly go through Kevlar. You think the police want to deal with that? I mean, if you love the police, you don't want this shit out there. You don't. The average citizen does not need this stuff. We don't need it. I have no problem with people like guns. Got no problem with it. You want to go hunting? You want to go to the range? You want to protect yourself? I'm cool. It might not be my thing, but I'm cool. But we don't need everybody armed to the teeth, walking around the streets with no need to get a permit, no need to get training on it, no need to store your weapons properly. It's out of control.
Well, here's what I think. Instead of going back and forth about is it the guns, is it mental illness, how about we do what is obviously needed and a good thing, and we fund mental health places for people to go, medication, housing for all those people who were deinstitutionalized and should not have been. How about we take care of the mental illness and the homeless that are because they're mentally ill? We have a therapy. We have provisions for this. We take care of that, and then we see what's going on with all these shootings. If that lessens it to a degree where we're comfortable, okay, we've done the right thing, which is something that we should fucking be doing anyway, if that takes away the problem, then have your guns and have a field day. But if that doesn't solve the problem, after we do this thing we should be doing, then we look very closely at gun control. But we should do the fucking thing about the mental health first. Anyway,
well, all right.
They should take a big look at that. And if we've got billions and billions of dollars to send to Ukraine, we could spend some of it here to take care of, you know, the mentally ill. There's a lot of people. Dave, you also brought up another thing on the mental health issues of people that see something like that. You know, when my father committed suicide in the back of the diner, there, you know, there were people there that saw my father kill himself, and. I always think about that, and I always wanted to reach out to some of those people and say, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry of, you know, what you had to see. If there was the counseling, and back then that was like 1968. There was no such thing as counseling. There was, you know, my mom didn't know. Maybe she should call something or, you know, somebody or something, and they didn't know that.
Well, there was counseling, but a lot of times if you went to see one, you were kind of labeled a loon. It wasn't normal. It wasn't normalized like it is now. There was like a stigma. It was there, but there was like a stigma attached to it. If, God forbid, you needed somebody else's help to get through some trauma or something.
Yeah, because my mom originally thought that my father was going to kill one of the guys that had him fired. And when the police came... when the police came to the door that morning, and my mom told me, you go, he killed so-and-so. And the police said, no, Mrs. Curry, he killed himself. So, it's just a horrible thing. It was mental illness. You know, my mom did a lot of research on that. And when you're in that state, you're not yourself. You're not thinking clearly. You're not thinking, you know. And, you know, my mom also, to comfort me and make me feel comfortable, would say, you know, he could have killed us both, too. And I'm like, well, thanks. That's a lot. And he could have, you know.
She's right. I don't know. I don't know if that's really what you want to say to your 5-year-old, but she's right.
And my dad was down in the basement, you know, I think that week with the shotgun down there, I guess cleaning it or working on it. And my mom told him, you get the gun and get it out of the damn house. I don't want it in this house. I don't want it down here. I don't want it, Joseph. I want this gun. You know, and he did. He did. I respect my mom. But, you know, so it's things that we see now. But mental illness has a big hand. in all of this, and it needs to be looked at. Hopefully both sides will take a look at it. Yeah.
All right, let's move on, because it's kind of political too. So I went to see, but in a weird way. So I went to see Mike Tramp last Thursday at a club Joe's played, Debonair and Teaneck. It's a small club. Mike Tramp.
You went to see him?
Yeah, I did. I went with Jeffrey Paul.
I played there all the time.
Yeah, it's a nice little venue. It's small. It's cute. It's cool. That was my first time. It's my first time there. It probably holds about 300 people. Probably something like
yeah.
that. So Mike Tramp was the lead singer of a band called White Lion, who had songs like When the Children Cry, that was their big hit, and Wait, that was another one of their big hits. They covered Radar Love by Golden Earring. So they had some songs. So I'd never seen this before. It was Mike Tramp and a guitarist, and that was it. They had tracks for the bassist and the drum kit. I'd never seen that before.
Welcome to music in 2023.
So you guys have seen this before.
Oh yeah,
you got to think about this, Davin. These gigs, small gigs. I mean, Jesus Christ, I play them. And if you're on the road, and you know, overhead on the road, venue to venue, you got to pay a band, you got to pay roadies, you got to pay this. If you show up and an acoustic guitar player and backing tracks, which are now so sophisticated, you know. You don't need the band. How do you think? What do you think with Joe? I mean, when Joe Cumia got all his backing tracks and stuff like that, put us all out of a job. That was our job. The damn machine took it over. And as Joe said, the machine doesn't bitch about money, and the machine doesn't drink. So,
that was the first time I'd seen that. That was a little jarring. But he pretty much said, he's like, maybe next time I come through, now that I see that you guys will put down the Netflix and come out. A little passive aggressive, Mike Tramp. Don't blame us. We're here for you, baby. Don't blame us for this.
Excuse me.
Was there any opening acts?
There were two opening acts.
Yeah, and they have to. And what they do is they have to buy 80 tickets and sell 80 tickets to make their money back. And then you go, well, Jesus Christ, you're the promoter. Well, that's what they got to do. So not only does Mike Tramp, you know, hopefully he can draw, he needs the two other opening acts to draw in their crowd, too.
So, he said, like, when he sang those songs in late 80s, early 90s, he said it was a girl singing, meaning him, but his voice was much, much higher. He still has a good voice, but the songs were done at a much slower tempo and, like, in a lower register. So, I mean, it was good, but the song certainly didn't rock. And some would say, did White Lion ever rock? For the sake of this conversation, they did not rock the way they did, which was fine. It's fine. I'm not complaining about it.
It was. He probably did the same show when we opened up for him. You know, I mean,
well, this is different. I think essentially it is, but this is electric. Because before he was doing acoustic.
All right, acoustic. And it was a story.
Lots of stories, which were interesting. So,
I'll tell you how the record company fucked them over. At every turn. That's why you never see Vito Bratta again. He just quit and left the business after White Lion.
So I'm hanging out with Jeffrey Paul and Don Jameson. Don is a comedian and also was on That Metal Show, and I think he's still on Anthony's thing on Compound. So we're hanging out, and this is three comics. And at first he's like kind of like, oh, all right, this guy would be a strong feature. This guy could feature. And then he kept on going on, and I'm like, all right, this is a feature, and the headliner didn't show up, and now he's doing material he doesn't really have, because it took a turn.
That's hysterical.
It took a turn. It was like I told you, he's like kind of chastising us, like, hey, motherfucker, we're here for you. We put down the Netflix. I mean, you know, so whatever. But he's like, you know, things were so great in the 80s when Reagan was president. And I'm thinking to myself, well, kind of Joe just alluded to it. Well, not if you're mentally ill or not if you had AIDS, not if you're George Herbert Walker Bush, who got holding the bag, for a trickle-down economics. But yes.
Well, let me tell you something. The 80s were fucking great. I was making more money than my mother was. I had so much work.
No, yeah. Well, listen, a lot of the 80s. A lot of the 80s was fun. We paid the price for it. It was definitely a good time. And this guy was in a hair band in the 80s. So, yes, if you were in a, and he was pretty. So, yes, if you were pretty and a successful hair band in the 80s, life was certainly great. But at the same time, he was also writing songs like When the Children Cry, which is about war. He was writing songs about, like, Little Fighter, which is about apartheid. He wrote a song about a Greenpeace ship. So this is pretty left-wing stuff. So it seems like even though he's having the time of his life in the 80s, he's still upset about something, it would seem, because a lot of bands of that genre were not really covering so that type of material, let alone multiple songs with that type of heavy material. Now, listen, they're still wearing spandex, and the hair is still teased up to the sky with the white rain and everything, but still.
Yeah, but you got to remember, I mean, the songs were catchy, he was pretty, and Vito Bratto was a fucking gunslinger on guitar. You can write about anything.
Right.
You're not there for the words. It's not you, too. You're not going to wrap yourself around the words.
Right, but most of the bands, like Poison did Something to Believe In, which was kind of like about being homeless, you know, a Vietnam vet and homeless. Scorpions did Winds of Change. Like, the bands would put out a song, maybe, you know, a politically tinged song. But for the most part, it was about partying and getting laid, which is what I loved about it, to be completely honest with you. That's what I want from
maybe. The 80s were about.
Yeah, sure. I was all about it. But yet you had White Lion putting out these heavier songs. The topics were heavier. The topics were heavier. So he's talking about how great everything was in the 80s. Okay. But he's singing these songs about how bad everything is in the 80s. And then he started going into, or maybe before that, he started going into the transgender issue, which Paul Stanley and Dee Snider have also stuck their toe in. And every time they do this, I'm like, why? Do you have a song about it? If you don't, why? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. And it was like when Ace Frehley started talking about politics, nobody wants to hear Ace's politics. We just want to see if he's upright. But Mike Tramp was always... At first, I'm thinking, why is he doing this? But I'm like, all right, this guy's always been political. So, all right, it kind of makes sense that he would do this. At least he's staying true to form. So I give him a pass. Like, so everything's great in the 80s. He's writing these songs about how shitty everything is in the 80s. And then he's like, you know, we need to go back to then. So, you know, I hope you guys vote smarter next time. So apparently he's a Trump guy. So apparently he's a Trump guy, and then we have one guy going, "Let's go, Brandon!" Like, what the?
My kind of a show.
Yeah,
love it.
But here's the thing: it makes me.
Did it pack out?
Yeah, it was pretty close to full. Absolutely. Yeah. But here's my thing: I'm listening to Mike Tramp, and the incongruity of what this man is saying. I might be the only one of them. I'm going, this is a dumb motherfucker. Not because he likes Trump. I don't give a shit about that. I mean, Joe likes Trump. I don't think Joe's necessarily a dumb motherfucker. I mean, but just what he is talking about makes no sense. Like you just said how great everything was in the 80s, probably because you were getting your dick sucked four times a night. But okay, I'm sure it was. But you're writing all these songs about how bad everything sucks in the 80s. And now you're going, well, let's go to the guy who's all about sexual assault and all that shit. I guess maybe he was blaming Biden for the Ukraine war, which is something they do on the right side. But I'm just like going, okay. And I had bought the t-shirt ahead of time. It was $25. I'm like, you know what? They're not trying to rob me blind. So I'll buy the shirt for $25.
Yeah, plus there's no ball sack guy.
No. No.
ATM right across the street in case you need money.
No, I'm the ball sack guy trying to resell it after the show. But that's the thing, like after I'd already bought the shirt before the show started, after I heard that, I go, I wonder if I would have bought the shirt after hearing all that. I just don't understand. I don't know why these guys are doing it, because it's not like they're writing new songs about it. Like, if you got a song about the Ukraine war or how great Trump was, I get it. You want to talk about it? You want to sing about it? You got the song? I get it. But they don't have any songs about it, and they just alienate people. I don't understand it.
I think maybe you're the only one that was alienated.
No, no. There was one guy, Joe, who said, let's go Brandon. There was one guy. Because, you know, and really, is that the guy you want?
What did the other 277 people say?
There was some applause for some of his stuff. It certainly wasn't everybody. And first of all, Teaneck is not really a right wing. I don't know. It's not really right wing. But like I was saying, they're going to a White Lion show. Kind of. And the guy's politics were always left wing. I mean, he was railing against this shit against two Republican presidencies. So I don't know what the hell he was doing. But whatever. He could do what he wants, I guess. It just always strikes me as odd. Like, when we go see Aerosmith, and I'm going to get to that in a second, I know Steven Tyler tends to be more left-wing. I know Joe Perry tends to be more right-wing. I really don't need them having a fucking debate in between Janie's Got a Gun and Love in an Elevator. Play the hit, stupid.
Yeah, please no.
I was at McGuire's on Sunday, and I'm second up after Steve Perillo, and I go up there, and I started doing the stuff that I usually do. I'm goofing on Biden, I'm goofing on Trump. And, like, I'm sort of dividing the room, and one side is not really laughing that much. The other side has got me. So I get back, and I go, what? That was an odd set. And Terry McNeely goes, you know what happened? He goes, that half the room's a Democratic fundraiser. And I go, oh, now you tell me. And he's sitting there with Rob White. I'm like, Joe's doing all his A stuff. I wonder why it's not as going as good as it usually does. I go, ironically, I'm on stage thinking the same fucking thing.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
This woman, when we get done, and she goes, oh, that was so great. She goes, yeah, we knew it was a Democratic thing. But she goes, you were such a pro. You were able to turn it right around to Trump and stuff. Well, I go, I take those sides, you know, and those political fundraisers, they don't, you know, they're all there. They're afraid to, like, laugh at anything that people might look at the wrong way.
It wasn't always that way, man. They used, especially the Republican ones. Used to be fun. The Democrats were always sticks in the mud. I've talked about that before. They were always more.
Right.
They were always more sticks in the mud. Now the Republicans are sticks in the mud too. I've said this to audiences, like when they're like, "Ooh, the Trump stuff." I'll chastise them. I go, "Aren't you the ones who said fuck your feelings? And now your feelings are hurt? Shut up, get over it." And I will chastise them and whip them right into the place they need to be. Because you can't be go fuck your feelings. Go no, that's my boyfriend. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
No. No, yeah, you can't. It's like, fuck your feelings, but mine are very special and delicate. No.
All right. So, I got us the tickets. Pip, myself, my wife, and my buddy Scott. And we will be the foursome going. And this is the first time they did not do, first time I can remember, there was no pre-sale. And usually I am, like, I do have one of the pre-sale codes. But I never have any luck, but because they don't put everything on sale at the same time. So it's really hard if you do it the proper way and log in like 15 minutes ahead of time to get anything. This time I got some. Yeah. I would have gotten us better tickets, but I had the price constraints of those three, not me, those three. And I think I kind of screwed up. Like I think I did the math. I want to go, oh, this will be more than the $150 I was allotted. I don't want to hear them bitch about a $170 ticket. So I had to go back and I got like seats. Like stage right, but here's why I'm excited to go with. Well, I'm excited to be going because it'll probably be the second to the last time I see him because I'm sure they'll come back. But no, actually, I was talking to my wife about it, and I said here last week. I don't think they're going to tour anymore, but I could see them doing one offs and residencies and stuff. I could see another Vegas residency because it's not as much wear and tear on them.
Yeah, right.
You know, so
if I was doing a Vegas, you know, with a Vegas residency, I'd be hesitant to go at this juncture, especially with Steven's problems. You know, if one of them falls off the wagon, well, we're going to reschedule. Great. What am I supposed to do? See Cirque du Soleil when I'm out there now?
Yeah, no. Listen, Pip, Mr. Helix, myself, my wife, we got very lucky. We saw the five original members. We made our flight barely. We got very lucky that we saw exactly what we wanted to see because not everybody did. But here's the thing. So I've seen the most concerts with my wife, Scott, and Pip, most Aerosmith concerts. Pip probably the least, but I think this will be at least the fourth time I'm seeing Aerosmith with Pip. Because I think she was with
We also saw St- Steven Tyler solo.
We did see Steven Tyler solo together. And you and I saw them. I think you were with me on the Run DMC Kid Rock tour. I think you.
Yes.
We also saw them with Cheap Trick twice.
Yes.
Was it once or twice with Cheap Trick you were with me? Maybe once with Cheap Trick.
Once.
So this will be your third or fourth time, I think. Maybe more.
Yeah.
And my wife has gone to a lot of them with me. Now, it's not like she didn't know Aerosmith before me, but she doesn't really go to live concerts. And at first she said to no to this. And then before I bought the tickets, I go, do you want to go to Aerosmith? She said, oh, okay.
All right.
So that's the one concert she'll go to. I've seen a ton with Scott, too. I mean, I was so sick when I saw him once. It was me, Scott, and his sister. And Jackal was opening up. And we were both so sick. I slept through a lot of the concert. This was the big ones tour. I slept through Jackal and Aerosmith, a goddamn chainsaw, and Stupid's Nighty Night.
Let me finish.
Not only that, I was still able to get a ball sack shirt on the way home from the car. But I slept through most of the Aerosmith. So not only later on that night, a girl who I'd been seeing for a little bit calls me up. She wants to come over and lose her virginity to me. And I was so sick, I said, no, I'm not up to it. And then I broke up with her, and she lost it to somebody else right afterwards. That's how sick I was. I will always have that memory.
Wow.
So
you made that ball sack vendor so ill.
No, I didn't make the ball sack vendor ill. What are you talking about?
How do you know you didn't?
I don't know, Pip. All right, go on, Joe.
I was at work one time, and I got so violently ill at work, and I get home, and I'm laying in bed. You know, on the way home, I'm like, I got to go to Iron Maiden tonight at Jones Beach, and I'm going to go, and I'm like, all right. If I make it through five tunes, I'm okay. And I get to Jones Beach, I'm fine, and then I start getting violently sick, and I go into the bathroom, and I am so violently ill in there. And all you hear is Bruce Dickinson going, and me going, I was hanging on the rail. I was literally hanging on the rail in the hallway because I was just so sick. And people are looking at me going, look at this middle-aged guy taking drugs, you know? And I made it through the fifth storm. And I got out of there and I went home. I didn't see the rest of the show, but I had to give it a shot, but I was fine.
But here's the thing, Joe. Scott and I were both sick. We did not feel sick until the concert. Like, we felt fine walking into the Brendan Byrne Arena, whatever the hell it was called then.
Oh.
And
yes.
But we both got sick at the concert.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Was it something you ate?
No, it was the weirdest thing. And the next day I was fine. It wasn't like a stomach issue, just so sick that we passed out. How do you pass out at a Jackal Aerosmith concert?
Well, if they didn't lace the weed with anything, no.
So what do you guys think of the opening act for Aerosmith, Black Crowes? I think that's a huge get.
I love that.
That is a get. The Black Crowes on their own are fantastic.
Yeah, they're a headline act.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
You know, I have the first two albums on one cassette, which I copied. I can't say I've ever purchased a Black Crowes. I've never been a huge Black Crowes fan, but it's certainly a great opening act.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Now, I'm a big fan. There was one album that they did. For the life of me, I forgot the title of it, but it starts off with, I forgot the name of the song. It's a great tune, though. I'm sorry. Stop Kicking My Heart Around is the second song, and Will This Thing Go Fast is the first cut. This album, it's one of those rare albums, every tune on the album is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I forgot the name, but it's one. There's not one clinker or one filler on this album. And it's not really regarded as one of the Crowes' better albums.
How many albums they put out? I know I have the first two albums, and they broke up. The brothers fought. How many albums did they put out?
Five, I think, maybe six.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But this one album, like I said, I forgot that. What a great album! This stuff is really good. You know, I mean, they've kind of changed. They were kind of rebellious when they first started out. They didn't want any sponsorship. They didn't want this and that, you know. And then after a while, especially now, you know, it's like, all right, yeah, we get it.
So, Pip, are you excited?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited to see Aerosmith again. I know that we had, like, a penultimate experience going to see them in Las Vegas, but I think they always put on a really good show, so I'm excited about that. And I've never seen the Black Crowes, and I really love them, so I'm excited to see both. Like, it's going to be a great show. I'm pretty sure.
So the question is, do I go Joe Curry like and buy a $50 shirt inside and a ball sack shirt outside? Because that's a Curry move. $50 on the cheap is Joe.
It is. And you know what? I got it. I'm going to see Ghost again. I saw Ghost back in September. I really didn't enjoy. They were great. There were two things with Ghost. I loved them, and it was kind of jaded for two things when I saw them. Number one, I was right when I had the accident. I didn't know where I'm getting a car. I didn't know how I could afford a car. So my mind was not into it all the way. And the second thing about it is that I saw Rammstein the week before, like the beginning of the week, and I love both bands, and both bands are good. The Ghost puts on a show. Rammstein brings a fucking city with them. I mean, you know, so the shows are better. So I'm seeing and also I went to find a ball sack guy at the end of the night. There was none there because it's kind of tough around UBS. So I'm going to see them in Connecticut in August.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm probably gonna find a ball sack guy, and I'm gonna buy a legit one from the guy.
All right, let's take our first break because we got the Mother's Day countdown coming up. On the break, we have new music from Daniel Slam with Sunset and Dan Osum and DJ Combo with Flow Radiant. And you can learn more about both those artists at khb-music.de.